This audio presentation is the teaching of Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Rule of Three, was delivered February 23rd, 2020. Here now is Chaplain Frank.
Honor of introducing Jennifer Akitola. And this year, God has been telling me speak words of encouragement and exhortation over people. So I have the great honor this month to introduce Chaplain Frank Castagnetti. John and I have been friends with Frank and his wife Marsha for a number of years now. And I think we first met Frank in 2012, I want to say, in that time frame. And if you saw him then, you didn't know him then, and you saw him then, you would not recognize him. One, he was a lot thinner. Yeah. He wasn't married, so he was a lot thinner. But besides that, he was a man of sorrows. He was heartbroken. He was carrying heavy burden. And he came to church, and the first thing he did, he volunteered. And rain or shine, he'd be out in the parking lot with his umbrella, helping people park their car. And he joined the men's ministry. He came to small group. He learned to play the ukulele. I remember Johnny teaching Frank to play the ukulele. And now he periodically plays on the worship team. He's a super achiever. Kind of annoying in a lot of ways, but he's a super achiever. That's what Frank is, you know. And what really impressed me about Frank was John and I did the class called The Art of Marriage, and it's a marriage class. Now, Frank's not married. He wasn't married at that time. He wasn't even dating anybody at that time. And he came. Why did Frank come? Because he wanted to do better. He wanted to learn to have good relationships. And you know, that really, really impressed me. And it touched my heart that this guy, and he's not a metrosexual now. He doesn't do the manicure and the facial and that sort of thing. Nothing wrong with that. He just doesn't. Frank is a man's man. He's a Marine. He's son of a Marine. He's a man's man. But he's not afraid to ask his friends for help, ask his church for help, and ask God for help. And when he did that, his whole life was transformed. The man you see today is not the man we saw in 2012. It's a totally different man. And I didn't ever think that he would become a pastor, a chaplain, but that's what he is today, and he's giving the message this day. So, Chaplain Frank Castagnetti.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Here, don't forget your good stuff.
My good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Good morning. Everybody can hear me okay?
Yep.
All good? Back there? Good? Tight? All right. Good. Wow, that was one of the best introductions anyone's ever given for me, and I'm super touched by that. I don't know about if everything in there is truthful, but I'm not going to argue about it. Super annoying. I'll go with that. Super annoying. I've been called other things super, I just take a moment. A lot of things Amy said are very true, and I just want to focus on the part of where I was to where I am, and I know I've shared this a few times. I cannot, if I was to give, you know, my shortened testimony of where I was 2012, just into now. Like she said, it was very sorrowful, very broken, and God restored and multiplied. I would not have thought I'd be remarried to an awesome, beautiful wife. I would not have thought we'd own our home, that our bills would be under, or God's bills would be under control, God's house would be under control, that we'd be just on the crust of getting ready to go back out and race I'm a Volkswagen guy by experience, trade, and work. And I still love it. My brother still got his car, and we still do that. But we went to the dark side with our blown alcohol dragster, and we're about to really step all the way into it. But God's provided those things. As far as being a chaplain with Races for Christ, I've been a member of Races for Christ for many, many, many years, and I always figured at some point it'd be neat to be this kind of chaplain person because it's a lay position. There wasn't a lot of training that was necessary. It's just a heart for the Lord and a love of motorsports, and when those two intersected, I found a great opportunity. We've been doing that. So, and speaking of that, you know, we've been formally, our racetrack has been up and working now for about 2 years. Last year, Marcia and I in that ministry, which is what it is. It's an outreach ministry because I do a service on Sundays and I'm down there to serve. And Marcia comes down and we're, you know, cleaning the toilets and prepping the rooms and getting that done. And if we're out getting the track ready, or whether I'm in the staging lane running cars or praying with teams throughout the day, whatever it takes, we're serving. We're guests down there. We're serving. But we put in over 400 hours last year, and that moved us, you know, as they keep track, we got a little golden pin presidential award or something. But that was just on those alternating weekends twice a month that we put in those hours to minister to people at the track. Before I start, I wanted, you know, as we were talking, please put in your prayer requests and your praise reports. It is so, so vital that we pray for you. And we lift you up, and we put your needs and your requests and your desires and your hurts and your callings at God's throne. And then to be able to come back and give you folks the praise reports. So for that, I want to be able to say that with my work, last weekend was the holiday. The Monday was President's Day. And a few weeks before that, I got a email from my boss saying, hey, you're invited to this ART, they call it, experience. I was like, she must have made a mistake. I'm not part of the leadership stuff. And then I waited, and then she goes, hey, you coming? I'm like, where? She goes, the art excursion, the Huaka'i field trip. I was like, oh, did you mean this? Of course I meant to send you that. I said, oh, let me talk to my wife, because it's a day off. So we didn't have anything going. And then I got there, and it was all the leadership, you know, the principal, vice principal, other all the decision makers. And I'm like, I'm not really in this. And then I go, I thought we were like, it's art class. I thought it was something we were going to do with art. They started laughing. Oh, you're so cute. You're funny. I said, what's it mean? They go, academic research team. I went, whoa. I'm not any of those three in any team. I got it. Team. Good. I'll cheerlead. I'll bring water. I can do that. I'll be the water boy. They're like, oh, no. I was like, oh, are we doing any of that today? No, this is just a bond. So it was a great experience, but then I was going, why did I get invited to that? Because in my heart, at some point, I want to find, if possible, to further move up within the system so that I can affect more things for God's kingdom. I love what I'm doing. He might just keep me there, which is fine. But there, if I have opportunities to move further up in the ladder, I want to be able to do that, because I didn't think I'd be where I am now. So I want to be open with a good heart for doing that. So that's a praise report I want to share with you. Every now and then, they're pulling some of us up, right, as Christians, as followers of the Lord. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a chaplain. They know I attend church. So for them to be pulling me into some of those things, I know our God is mighty and he's moving in this Department of Education system. So that's my praise report, but also a prayer request. Keep me in your prayer. The other thing, our motor arrived. Our motor came in last week. It was a few days ahead of schedule. It was supposed to come in to Kona on the 20th, and I wasn't sure if I'd have it by this weekend, but it actually got in and delivered into Hilo on Tuesday, and we picked it up, and I had some friends help me unload it. And that was an adventure because the crate kind of got damaged, but the motor's fine. So the motor is home. It's in the garage. It's ready for us to mate up and mock up and put into the car. So we're really making some progress. So continue to pray for us. I'll get some pictures up and show them to you at some point. But I just wanted to put that out there, that God is moving at least in our life mightily, and I know he'll do it in yours. My last prayer request for you, as Amy said, Scott and the leadership team approached me about a year, almost a year ago, and said, hey, since you're a chaplain, we're going to make you a pastor. And I went, you're praying to the wrong guy. No, I don't want it. And I said, uh-uh. And then they did the, go pray about it. I'm like, oh, no. So I went and prayed about it, and I'm like, oh, really, Lord? Trust you? Yeah, okay, I got it. Mm. So I approached my wife. She said, yes, go for it. I'm like, oh, gosh, no, I don't need her cheerlead. So I'm at a point now, I finished a few things, and part of that's part of my message. I was taking on too many things. I was saying yes too much and no, not enough, or hold on or wait, similar to how our God answers our prayers. It was yes, 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 yes. And then I was like up to here with alligators and water. So I made some space. I've cleared some things out. Thank you, Lord. I've gotten some commitments that I made completed and taken care of to people that were waiting on me so patiently. So I thank them. So I need to now pray for me. I'm rolling into what is the polity portion of the pastoring licensing process. I have to go through the policy and procedures, go through a test, which is open manual, which is good, and then there'll be the final interview. But from here on, I think I'm good. I have 90 days to complete it. I'm not going to take that long because that's just too long to try to hold stuff. So I'm a short-term memory kind of person. I'm going to rock and roll through that. So keep me in your prayers, but that's the praise report. I'm getting through some things. So thank you for that. All right, here we go. Rule of three. The rule of three falls all over in the world, and I'm going to give some examples of things. I'm going to spend probably a little bit too much time harping on my time in the military and the Marine Corps, but I wanted to go over this, the rule of three. In writing, when we're doing writing and stuff, the rule of three is a concept where there's a trio of characters or events that is usually found to be more effective, memorable, satisfying, or even humorous when you compare to other numbers if you're trying to link two or five. You know, three seems to be a nice number in the rule of writing and authoring. It's utilitarian, it's simple, there's rhythm, there's simplicity that you couple with presenting a small amount of info and we create a pattern. It helps make the presenter, in this case me, or the author, I'm catchy, I'm quick on things, I'm knowledgeable, while presenting things in a pretty simple and understandable terms. Some examples, three little pigs, easy to get. Three billy goats gruff, I know I'm dating myself with some of these rhymes. Three musketeers, okay? Hi-ho silver, right? Away, you notice how that's coming in, away, you slid that fourth one in, okay? Adjectives are often grouped in threes to emphasize an idea. So when I'm writing, and my preference is to use descriptive adjectives in groups of three. For instance, I'm trying to make my messages simple, short, and sweet. Easy to remember. Okay, it's simple, it's short enough, it's sweet that it's palatable for us. Every now and then there's some hard stuff to come, so I might have to sandwich it. But I try to work in that area of three. There's a Latin phrase, omne trium perfectum. Everything that comes in threes is perfect. You don't need to memorize it, but it's nice that it speaks to even way back then in our understanding of written language and philosophy and knowledge that threes is perfect, or every set of three is there's completeness. The most stable form in the world, right, is a triangle. We know this, right? Squares might tend to fall, polygons are good, trapezoids are solid, but a triangle in threes, that's why geodesic domes are circles if you look and you put that in triangles, it comes out. It conveys the same idea with this rule of three. There's some perfections. So in the Marine Corps, we're trained up in the rule of three, and I think it also sort of applies in other branches of military, but for Marines, because we're either simple in what we do or simple-minded because that's just how we're bred, we try to almost always stick to a rule of three. There's multiple forms of the rule that will guide us as Marines, and it differs to context and situation. But most times, it just means all the planning, decision-making, structure that we do is based on a rule of three. So it gets down, at least in the Marine Corps, down to two of our most kind of close and held beliefs. War is chaos, it's confusion, and it's unexpected. Second is, because of that difficult, challenging fact, the only way we can succeed as an organization is to push the ability and authority for our Marines all the way down. We decentralize. So if you're a brand new, fresh out of recruit training, right out of infantry school, boot private, brand new in, you have responsibility and you have authority at that position on your fire team. We have to push it down because if there's attrition, somebody needs to know what they're doing down at that level. Organizationally in the Marine Corps, right? For combat readiness formation, we use threes. So three Marines will make a fire team or a squad, then three fire teams will make a platoon, three platoons make a company, three companies make a regiment all the way up, and we keep expanding on the rule of threes. Of course, we're overachievers or superachievers as we are, and so sometimes we want to slide something in, so we'll improvise, adapt, and overcome. See, I'm using threes again, or that's off that other movie, Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood. So we'll adapt, improvise, and overcome. We'll add a fourth unit as a supporting element, so the fire team may have a squad automatic rifle, even though so they'll have a fourth supporting element. Hi-ho, silver, away. So there's your fourth that you can do as a supporting element, okay? So when we have all of that, we add superior firepower to our team. We do a force multiplier. That way, if you've got three fire teams, but you've got a force support element, now I've got three separate squad automatic weapons in my platoon. So it just multiplies what we're able to do. Put another way, if we stick to the rule of three, each Marine only has to really worry about three important things. So if a corporal is in charge of a three-man fire team and the sergeant is in charge of three corporals with three-man fire team and I've got three company or three platoons under us, we can see how that lends to that, because as the sergeant, I'm going to go to the corporal so he can run his team. It's simple. It's decentralized. I don't need to speak to all of them. I can go right down the chain of command, and it keeps things short, simple, sweet, that they can get their information out and going. But functionally, what this rule says is a person should limit our attention to three tasks or goals. This is where I was getting Frank in trouble. Frank was having a hard time saying, no, wait, hold on, prioritize. I was like, yep, got it, get it. I can, no problem, didn't ask for help. And then I went, oh boy, I'm in trouble. And I've been in trouble for 6-9 months. I've just been like, oh geez, just too many things going. So I've had to really get centered and settle down, prioritize, stick to some things, admit to my wife, honey, I kind of made a mess here. I don't need you to do anything. I think I got a plan, but I want your insight, but I really need you to just encourage me. Hey, how's this going? And I'll just take a breath and go, here's where I'm at with that. It's coming up here, 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 here. And so far, she's been good and hasn't thrown anything at me. She's just, other than encouraging words, and we're getting there, I think. But you can check with her if my reality is comporting with hers. But going back to staying to three tasks or goals, anything more in the Marine becomes me, become we come overextended and confused. The Marine Corps actually experimented. We hired a bunch of people way, way back 10, 15, 20 years ago or what, and they said, hey, can we do two? Let's see, it wasn't effective. Can we do four or five? We started to fall off. So we stayed with the rule of three in general. That way we can stay at a high efficiency and effectiveness rate. As I said, I was underwater. There were too many things going on. I kept saying I can handle, and I've had to stop and get things realigned to that three. And again, there's a small amount of fudge factor here. If I've got maybe two short-term goals that I know I can relatively do easily, and then I've got an intermediate and a long-term, not a problem. We can probably roll through that. Another rule of three that the Marine Corps uses, rule one, if you can go forward, we go forward, we go through gaps, right? Why fight something head on? If we oblique or flank, right? Those are you marching, right? We can march straight, we can go left or right, but I can oblique or flank, which is at the 45. So if I can go through a gap slightly off center, I'll take that route, right? Path of least resistance, it seems to work, it's smooth, I'm not running into anything headlong. Number two of the Marine Corps, if we come under fire, we take cover. Then we make a determination, where's it coming from, and we go after that. So first I need to get centered and covered. Our other rule of three, if we're the supporting unit and somebody's under fire, we go to help them. We are prepared to assist. Same thing in this church, which we're going to get to. So why am I running my mouth about the Marines and combat and organizational structure and stuff? If we take the last set of rules of three and we apply it to our fellowship here at New Hope, here's where we are. As we move forward, we go by faith. We don't have a battle plan that we've developed with the generals. We have a battle plan that's laid out in Scripture and in prayer. We find a gap or a seam and we navigate forward, and life is seemingly good because we know we're not of this world and we're going to be attacked. It's promised to us. We're going to have problems. It's promised to us. We're going to have challenges. It's promised. We're in exile. This isn't our home. This isn't our land. We're going to get beat up along the way. But usually, if we're navigating fairly well and it's not too bad, life seems good here. Rule two, when we, as a body, encounter hardships and challenges, which will probably be the majority of the time, we need to take cover. We ask for Holy Spirit covering, we get under God's wings, we come before the throne, we reach out to each other, we take cover, first in that prayer, come to each other. This places the source of attack squarely and firmly at the foot of God's throne. We know we can't take it on, but He can. He sends His angels to fight those battles for us. We may be in there as a supporting unit because we have a task to do here. That's how we go on the offensive when we're under fire. Our rule three, as I see it, is as we catch our breath and our personal hardship and challenge starts to settle or shift, or we see some movement and some progression, we need to lift our heads up and look around, friends. And we got to see who else needs our help. We might be stepping out of as they're getting thrown in. Your testimony as you're coming out will lift them up. It will lift me up. It is vital that we don't just boom and go, whew, that's all done. No, it's done at the moment for us. Somebody else has just been thrown in or stepped into their challenge. We need to be there for them. We want to support them in prayer. We want to use what our gifts are and bring those to bear. Oh, but I can only do this. Then do that and do that well. My gift every now and then to come up here and run my mouth is never more important than someone who's cooking and you never see them cooking because they come and they leave, or whoever helps set up that parking lot and then they go, or for whoever is out in our children's church because they're over there and they're not here in fellowship. Those jobs are supporting me up here. Those jobs are more important in my mind because without them, we couldn't be up here. So support each other, please. So now, I want to segue into this rule of three. How does that apply to us? How do we consider the biblical rule of three? Show of hands. Hopefully no hands go up, so that's a hint. Can anyone tell me where in the Bible the word Trinity is used? Good. Nowhere. Good. Okay. Is it true or false, show of hands, that the description of the conversation about the naming of the Trinity is in the Bible? Is that in there? A couple of hands? Come on, put them up. Everybody put your hand up. It's in the Bible. The word Trinity, hands down. Trinity is not in the Bible. However, the biblical scriptural evidence for the rule of three is. I'm not going to talk about the Trinity because it's not scriptural. It's something else that was made. It's a great word to describe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is true. That is the Trinity. It's not scriptural, the word Trinity. Wars have been fought over that. I'm not going to get into that part. I don't want to get us dragged down. I want us to just look at the hermeneutics of Trinity through scriptural lenses. So in our scriptural rule of three, which is the embodiment of the Trinity, God is in the center. God is the Holy Spirit. God is the Father and God is the Son. So there's some examples of that where the Trinity is embodied and comes alive in Scripture, how they work together and some of their characteristics. So your first bullet point, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. This is in, I took this out of, this is in the new NIV, 1 John 5, 7 through 8. So Paul is teaching about faith in Christ from three perspectives. The Holy Spirit, God the Father as the water of life, and Christ, God is Christ as the redeeming blood. All three work in harmony and support of each other. So there's a reference. I didn't put them all. We only have five today, but there's many. But this is one of the references of that there are the three. Number two. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is out of 2 Corinthians 13. Again, Paul is preaching in Corinth, and his reference to the Trinity, again, is trifold. It's the three-way description. The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And you can see now how some of these are starting to intertwine, because in the first one up above, we have the Holy Spirit, God the Father is the water. Here it's the God of love. So we can see where these are all working in concert and in harmony and in support of each other. Our bullet point number three. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, comma, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 19. Making disciples, baptizing them. If you're going to baptism today, as you get cleansed and lifted back up and you become a new creation in Christ, whoever's doing that, if it's Pastor Scott or other friends and family, they will use that, this wording, very similar to this. We are baptizing you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So here in Matthew, Matthew was encouraging us using the action verbs go and make, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. One of part of our commission is to spread the good news, bring new believers into our fellowship. We can do this using both biblical accounting of Christ's sacrifice and the redemption for those who believe by faith, and by sharing our personal testimony. When you are talking story with folks, right? Things need to be palatable, smooth, and easy, especially if they're new believers and they're in a really hard spot and they're defensive and they're bristly. You telling your story is what will gather their attention. Remember when I was, but now this. Oh, for real. And then you can put in there, all glory to God. He helped me. He saved me. He fixed this. You're piquing their curiosity through your story. They're not going to want to listen about Matthew or John or James yet. They're not there yet, but they will listen to you because you have a relationship with them and they want to know how you're doing it. Continue to use your testimony. So as new believers come to Christ, water baptism is offered as a public declaration of their choice. That's further on. You've come in there and you say, I want to get into this army. I want to be a soldier or marine in the army of God. Fine. This is how we step that out. We make a public declaration. Number four, we just sang this. That's why I put it in the, that's why I requested the song. Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Love that song. Love it, love it, love it. I know it's hard to sing. It's a challenge, I get it. But when I was just, it was like, okay, boom, I wanna have that song. I don't think we had done it in a while. I requested it. Thank you for sliding that one in there. But these words are not just to be part of this awesome worship song, but they describe that coordinated effort of the Holy Spirit and the freedom that we have in Jesus, right? Christ's life and his ultimate sacrifice gave us the gift of liberty from the laws. Remember, until Jesus came, died, and resurrected, there was no freedom. There was no eternity. There were only the laws. And the laws were designed so that you were always on the wrong side of things. You couldn't satisfy the laws, no matter how good you were, no matter how hard you tried, no matter how well you were working to meet. There was always a law that it was contradiction to another law to keep you in a bad space. They designed it like that. Jesus came and said, we're done with this. We're going to fix this. I'm going to fulfill some of the other laws, and we're going to give everybody ultimate freedom. That was a time of bondage with those laws. It was impossible to meet the expectations. Jesus took that all away. We don't have to meet any law. We just have to love God and trust him, and we're good to go. Number five, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy Spirit in power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So here's God who anointed Jesus, his son, God the Father, God the Son, with the Holy Spirit in power, and he went about doing good and healing. So we are called to be healers. That could be you're just lending a shoulder and an ear and being a sounding board and validating for someone. Oh, that sucks. Man, that sounds awful. I'd probably be losing my mind as well. Thank you for sharing that with me. If we can practice that point of being compassionate and graceful and validating for folks, you are healing them. You are definitely being a physician in practice. You are helping someone along. So here, this last example of the power of the Trinity speaks to how Jesus was healing those who are possessed. That was in the book of Acts. So those that were probably displaying some serious and dangerous behaviors and those that are under demonic control. He was healing those. He was casting out demons. Every one of you has that power. We did it this morning when we prayed for Julie's family, for Randy, and for Myra, sending them on their way, casting out Satan and his minions who are always pecking at us, always trying to tear us down. You have that power to cast out demons. Please exercise that power frequently, my friends. So in the end, here's a takeaway. And we'll put it up there. If I didn't get it into the bulletin. This was in my message, and I'm like, I should have put it in the bulletin. It's a lot. But all of these fill-ins are actually right out of Scripture. And I shared this with my wife just this morning, and I said, every now and then on my messages, when I get what God has shown me, and I'm reading, is there anything here, Lord? Is there a mission or vision statement that's a takeaway for this? And I think I had to flip two of them in the order because they weren't in any particular order. But then it came through, and I'm like, I see these words, testify, grace, disciples, freedom, healing. How can I put that into a sentence without it being too? So anyway, our story allows us to testify to the grace we have in Christ. And as we grow in love, we bring disciples into our ohana so more and more of us can experience his freedom that will eventually allowing us to bring healing to a hurt and lost world. That is New Hope East Hawaii's mission and vision statement, is to go out, make disciples of people, and minister to this lost, hurting world. God's word is just beautiful when he goes, bang, watch this. When I get out of his way, he does stuff like this. We'll leave it up there. If you want to write it down, you can. It just, to me, it's validating. I get things together, we're praying on it, I write my notes, and then I go on, is there a takeaway that everybody can see where this might lend together? I also throw a challenge out to you. If you can take these words, testify, grace, disciples, freedom, and healing, string them together for yourself. God probably has a prophetic and revealing word for you where you are at this moment. As we close, I want to encourage us to consider that rule of three. Remember that the rule of three applies in what we're doing. Don't take on too much, my friends. Short-term, intermediate, long-term goal. Maybe slide a second one in there. Don't multitask. I can show you the research that says when we multitask, our effectiveness and ability to get things done correctly falls off tremendously. Our brain and our way of, we can maybe do two things really well in that 85%. When we start to add three and four things, we start falling off almost half. We'll start into the 60s and 50%. So don't multitask. Don't fall for that. It's a fallacy. It's not true. You need to be able to prioritize, which is not multitasking. Prioritize what you've got going on. Stick to the rule of three in what you're doing in life. But the bigger thing of sticking to the rule of three is never forget Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the three that we need to always be grabbing onto and holding. Try to be comfortable moving forward in the easy and challenging times. It's going to be hard. God promises us that he never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He always remembers our name. Three again. You see how I did that? I just did. Thank you, God. Okay, three. Three, three, three. It works. Look to our Father, our Lord Jesus, and our Helper, the Holy Spirit, in all the things that we do. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord God. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice, and Holy Spirit, I call upon you to continue to rest in our hearts, but similarly, cover us and guide us and protect us and give us wisdom. Protect everyone who's here or not here, who's going to listen in later, who's gone in the distance, who's come and gone, Lord God. Watch over them, protect us. We call on you three, Lord God, in your image, as Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit, to guide us, protect us, and watch over us in our day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chaplain Frank. You know, he is in the process of getting his pastor's license. You're at the polity portion now, which they give you 90 days. I took 89 and a half. I was frustrated because the other person I went to the class with, they did it in 1 week. It's like, whew. I know. It's like, I took 89 and a half and I just barely made it. And after I got through all of that, they changed the rules. After they let me through, they made it harder. So we're praying for you. So yeah, three, we want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Amen. Why don't you stand and we're going to sing our last song and get ready for baptism.
We'll sing your favorite song.
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.